Hey guys, this is Jason. Want to tell you about our Increase store. If you are looking for a gift idea for someone that you love, that loves Jesus, loves sports, check out the Increase.com. We got a collection of shirts and hats and hoodies, wonderful gift ideas that express faith and that express sports. You can also find Bible studies there. You can find our Bible in a Year engagement journal, as well as a 52-week devotional written by professional athletes. Just wonderful resources, apparel, and gift ideas. Go check out theincrease.com right now. The increase means John 3:30, the increase in Christ and the decrease of self. Check it out today at theincrease.com.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the show. I am Jason, and this is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's the best place to go each and every day for all of our content, articles and devotionals, our Sports Spectrum podcast network of shows. You can find them all there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. You can also email me if you have any questions, any thoughts, any feedback on today's show. Maybe you have a guest idea for our podcast. You can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And today on the show, we have Eric McLean back here on Sports Spectrum. He was a guest back in 2019, right before he had started his new journey as an ACC Network college football analyst. Well, here he is in his fourth season now with the ACC Network, and he does a great job every Saturday. You're watching your college football, you're watching your halftime shows and your preview shows and your recap shows. Eric McLean is one of the great rising voices, I think, in college football from a broadcasting standpoint. He does a fantastic job as an analyst with the ACC Network. He is a Clemson alum, Clemson University from 2011 to 2015 in his last year. That was the first year that Dabo got that Clemson Tiger team to the college football playoff and the national championship game. And he played in that 2016 national championship. And then it was a year later, after he left, when they won their first title in 2017. He was a member of two conference championship teams. He's also the host of a podcast with Kelly Gramlich, the Gramlich and McLean podcast. And it was great to have Eric back on the show. We had a really cool conversation about Clemson University because I got to take a trip there back in October for my first trip down to Clemson, and I was so impressed. So we talked about that. Eric also became a dad on September 22nd, and man, when you become a father, it changes your perspective on life, and I think it gives you a deeper connection to who God is as father, and we talked about that as well with Eric McLean from the ACC Network, Clemson University alum, and he joins us right now on Sports Spectrum. Eric McLean is an ACC Network college football analyst and a Clemson alum. And if you're watching this on Zoom or YouTube, you see he's rocking his Clemson Tigers gear. I should have brought my gear and put it on because I bought some gear recently, Eric. When I went to visit Clemson, I had to get a shirt and a sweatshirt because it was like you want to fit in with the crazies in Clemson. What's up, buddy? So good to see you.
Man, it's great to see you, my brother. It's been too long since we've sat down in this instance, at least. You know, we've gone back and forth, certainly, over the years. But 2019, I was thinking back on that. I was in Charlotte. We were living in Charlotte. So we've moved twice since then. We're in a house now in Columbia, South Carolina. We've had a baby girl. Life is very different since our last conversation. And seems like everything's going really well with you guys in the same breath. So it's super cool to see.
Yeah, I love watching you and your career blossom. But I also like that you've taken on a new title since September 22nd, 2022, when Amelia Rose entered the world. Congratulations, Dad. How's it been going,
Thank you, my friend?
How's it been going?
Man, yeah, it's you talk about that title. I mean, it's one of the best. I've had some cool ones in my life, but that's right up there to the top. And just to see that process, you know, not for too much TMI or anything like that, but it is It's amazing. I mean, just to see how strong women are and how beautiful that process is, and the fact that it really is. I mean, it's the miracle of life. Like, that there's no question when you see that, to me, I don't know how you question a higher being. I don't know how you question, you know, God. And when you see that and just the process of it all, and I will say this kind of on a light note, if men had to have the babies, the human race would be extinct. Like, there's no way. We just couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, man. It's truly crazy.
It's crazy. So true. I'll never forget. My daughter is 18 now, but I will never forget seeing her born. And again, the TMI, I won't go too much there. I think everybody knows what that is like, but it's the most beautiful thing to see. And yet it's like, whoa, what is happening right now? And yet it's so beautiful. And you're right. I think there aren't too many other examples in my life that I can say I experienced that.
Right.
And there is absolutely a God in heaven who did this. Yes. Because I don't know. It's the miracle of life. And we say that, but it's so true.
Yeah. And I think it's put so much more in perspective when it's you and when you're going through it and it's your wife or your child and all these different things, man. And just to see her when she's born and to see, you know, how great of a architect, a creator, an artist, you know, our Lord is. And I'm looking at these teeny little fingers and ears and toes and just all the detail. I mean, it truly, and I sound silly saying this, but it's fascinating to just see each and every day, to see her grow, to change. I don't know, man. It's funny, in our line of work, you know, we have to go away for a couple of days, and it's just what it is. And it's lucky that it's not every day. And there's certainly just a small window that this happens, but you know, I would leave Thursday through Sunday. And so I'm missing like massive portions of her life early on and come back. And it's just like, wow, this is a different child than once I left. And so the small things, her opening her eyes more, her starting to smile, her, you know, moving and interacting, you know, with people, you know, those 4 day stints, there's a lot that happens, you know, in between there. And so it's been so cool, man. We're so blessed for the support system that we have. So grateful and thankful for our parents. Her parents are a 9-iron away from my house. My parents are a little farther. They're about a 30 minute drive, but you know, just to have them and to be able to rely on them and ultimately just the examples that we've had from each of our families, you know, our entire lives of what great parents should look like. Not to say that it made this easy, but just when you have an example like that, it made it easier, you know, for Khaki and I as we're going through this process and learning. And certainly baby Amelia has helped. She sleeps great. She eats great. We're lucky, man. We truly are. And I know that every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. You do that traveling. I wonder when you're traveling and you're just meditating or praying or thinking about the blessings that God has given you. What do you think is the greatest lesson that he's already taught you? It's only been a few months, you know, three months or so, but what do you think is the greatest lesson that God has taught you since becoming a dad?
You know, I think what is interesting is just being reminded, you know, all the things leading up to my life that prepared me for this moment. You know, I think that so many different, you know, books you read or people you talk to, you know, just says you never truly can be ready. Well, I think with his help, you know, we really were. I mean, I've never had a kid. This is the first one. And, you know, there hasn't yet, which I'm sure it's coming. And again, I sound silly saying this. There hasn't been a moment where I'm like, we can't do this. I truly felt empowered because of him and trusting in him and his timing and, you know, going through all the different things that we did to get to this moment, you know, that we were ready and we are ready, you know, for whatever comes our way through him and the things that he can do, you know, for us. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing when I think of, you know, kind of currently in this state, you just pray all the time that, you know, your example is the best example and that my wife, Khaki, and I can just be these leaders, you know, for Amelia and unborn children, if we have any more, that, you know, we're doing the right thing and that we can guide them the correct way and through his word and different things, community and relationships that, you know, we can continue to do that. So that's been my biggest prayer just each and every day, man, just to sit there, please, you know, God, I think this is the right thing. I think, you know, I'm doing this, you know, through and for you. Just please continue to guide us, you know, the right way.
And in a couple of weeks here, we got Christmas, and this Christmas is going to be a special one, huh?
No question, man. It's so funny. So when we came home, one of the first things we thought about is, how are we going to do Christmas? Where are we going to put the tree? Who's all coming over? I think we have a good plan in place. You know, we got a couple, like I said, family members close. We're going to do the big three, kind of swing around. But man, just to think about the true meaning of all of that and what it is and the birth, you know, of Jesus Christ, and that we have our own little baby, you know, coming into the world, and to be able to celebrate that with her. It's going to be a big deal.
All right, here's my piece of advice, Eric. So when we had Sarah, she's 18 now. So my memory might be a little faded, fuzzy here, but I'm going back. She was 6 months old when we celebrated her first Christmas, and just don't go crazy on the presents. Because you think it's like, oh my gosh, they're so little and want to make sure we, you know, wait a couple, you'll be tempted, but wait a couple years until they're a year to 2 years and they actually can enjoy opening presents. Right. Because at this age, they're just happy to see a cardboard box.
Anything. Listen, it'll be her mom wrapping them. It'll be me unwrapping them. And so what are we doing? She already has everything in the world. Trust me. When I've mentioned the grandparents being so close. There's something new at our door every day. So it's Christmas every day for Amelia Rose.
All right. So that's good advice there. I'm glad you're seeing that too, because remembering here, we're tempted to spoil our kids. I get it. It's the first Christmas. You want to take tons of pictures, but the presents, it's like, you know, they're just not there to open them. So
I can guarantee you the picture part will happen. It's already. I mean, it's funny. My phone goes from football stats and pictures of me and khaki and all these different things to just rows and rows and rows of baby pictures. And they're all the same. It's all the same picture, but I've got 1,000 of them already.
Eric McLean is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. We had you on, I think it was 3 years ago. You had just gotten the job, I believe, with the ACC network. So this was before COVID. So much has taken place just since we had you last on this podcast. So let's go back a little bit and kind of walk us through what you think it's been like for you, where God had you then, where he has you now, and what stands out when you think about the last 3 years. Obviously, becoming a dad was the most important thing, but there's just so many things that took place in our country and in our world, and even for you personally, just kind of walking through that as a follower of Christ.
Yeah, man, it's been a heck of a journey, and I can't imagine having gone through all of that, you know, alone, and I say that not in a, you know, physical sense, but in a spiritual and faith sense, and just, you know, having all these questions and concerns. And, you know, at the end of the day, as bad as it ever might get, you know, I just always can keep that faith and have that light to where I say, he's in control. I might not understand it. I probably don't understand a lot of why things happen and ask that frequently. And that's okay. You know, I'm not supposed to. And one day maybe I will. And so to me, man, it was, as crazy as it seems, comforting in a fact that I knew this is happening for some reason. We are going to figure all this out. We're going to be okay. And for me, that was just an ease at mind, because, you know, you have friends that probably aren't, you know, religious or have a belief or maybe are questioning their beliefs. And then stuff like that happens. And man, they're in a tough spot, because when it's over, it's over. There's nothing else. And so that is scary. And certainly when there's uncertainty in the future and uncertainty of where the country's going, for a lot of different things, you know, that can be terrifying, you know, for people. And so for me in that aspect, you know, not to sit here and beat my chest, it has nothing to do with me. It wasn't as hard, I think. And when I look at the career aspect of it, I was extremely blessed then, extremely blessed now, man, to do, you know, what we do and to be able to use this platform, not only to bring joy and to spread, you know, the fun of football and get that to a lot of different people, but, you know, also hope that I'm example and helping, you know, really shine his light and seeing, man, what's different about this guy? Meet him. And he's super intentional about relationships. You know, he cares about everybody involved. And man, I just hope that, you know, oozes out of me every time that I meet somebody new or that we're on site somewhere else. Just because I think that goes a long way with people and, you know, caring about, you know, what they do and things of that nature. So for me, it's always been such a blessing, man, that the people that I work with are just, I can't say enough about them. We'd have to have another podcast just on them because it's such just a beautiful thing. And I'll start with Coach Mark Richt. I mean, when I think of,
speaking of examples of Christ, by the way.
Right, exactly. That's where I was going. To think of the ultimate example, I mean, it's him and everything that he has accomplished in his life, that he's dealing with now, the Parkinson's and just the craziness, the health scares that, you know, constantly, and he never wavers. He never, woe is me. He never questions God. He never says any of that. And he's a young man that has so much life ahead of him. And, you know, now it's there's a toll on it. And there's something that he's dealing with that he doesn't show that ever. He shows up to work. He busts his tail, has a great attitude. And at the end of the day, you know, it is this beacon of light that we should all aspire to be, the way he loves his wife, the way he loves his children, the way he handles, you know, any circumstance thrown his way. And so, you know, I think for the three of us, when I look at EJ, myself, and Jordan Cornette, you know, to be around that each and every weekend has been such a positive influence on us. And then, of course, my brothers with Jordan and EJ, I mean, just to the fellowship, the bonding, the growth to see in one another. I mean, we all three have had baby girls this year, which is just crazy. Jordan's is on the way, should be, you know, here any day now.
Yeah.
It's just to go through all those experiences together, man. It's just God put these guys, you know, in my life for a reason. And I think vice versa for me. And, you know, just to see how we've all changed has been really, really cool throughout the years.
When you played in college, you played at Clemson, and, you know, it's not a Christian university per se, but Dabo was leading the way as a coach, and he's very open about his faith, right? And so I wonder how did that prepare you, not the football playing, obviously that's wonderful, but prepare you on how to live your life as a Christian in a place that's not, you know, ministry in the sense of being a church or a faith-based organization or a Christian school, taking that with you to where you are now with the ACC Network. Again, understanding that your job is to be the best analyst you can be, but you also know that you put God first, so you want to be the best Christian you can be as well. What were some of the lessons or a lesson that you learned from someone like Dabo and others who were so intentional about their faith, but still understanding that they had a job to do to be a coach, but always wanting to shine the light?
I think, you know, really, and it's not something that, you know, maybe beforehand where you're, you know, ashamed or scared to demonstrate it or anything like that, but it was just another level because he is at such a high platform. He's in the spotlight with any and everything that he does. And you know, I reflect back, I think it was maybe 2012 or something of that nature. And we had a young man, you know, who wanted to be baptized in front of the whole team. And, you know, so we did it right there, right after practice. And, you know, Coach Sweeney kind of, we were having our, you know, like team meeting after practice, right on the field, huddling up, he's breaking down what happens. And then he says, hey, you know, so-and-so's about to get baptized. If anybody wants to go over there, we're going to do that as a team and would love to celebrate. And so I'm sure everybody went, maybe a couple guys didn't, you know, because you have your own choice and you can do what you want. But so we all go over there, participate in that. And a few weeks later, there's this crazy group, you know, that comes and is like attacking him, saying that he's forcing his players to do this. He's mandating that, you know, they go to church and they do this and that. And, you know, I think for a lesser man, you know, that is scary. And that's something where you're like, I'm going to get fired. I got to worry about my finances. I have to worry about my status, this and that. And he never backed down. It even probably made it stronger for him where he's like, I'm going to fight this thing with everything I have, you know, because my faith is number one. It's the most important thing to me. So to me, that was just one finite example of this, who you are. It's just at the end of the day, no matter what I do, I'm that first. And so no circumstance, no job, no person, no situation should put a damper on that light and should make me feel like I can't be who I am. And so for me, that was just, you know, like show business. You know, people might try to tell you, not that they have it all, but might try to tell you, you have to be this, you have to say this, you have to do this. And, you know, some of that stuff might not align with your beliefs. And for me, it's always been able to, you know, really rely on that, you know, foundation and that structure and that, you know, knowing that, you know, my standards are a lot higher than other people's standards for myself and for things that I want to be involved in. And that's okay, you know, because of my beliefs and things of that nature. So that, I think, has been one of the, you know, more applicable, just kind of being not anywhere near the pedestal that he has, but rising in that light. And when you're on camera and things are being recorded all the time, it's just a fun reminder to me that the devil's always working, but just mm-hmm. Jesus is working harder. Jesus is working harder.
Yeah. Speaking of Clemson, we had Don Munson on back in the summertime, and I love talking to Don. He's such a good guy, and you know, he's a legend, right? He's the voice of, he doesn't like calling himself the voice of Clemson Tigers football, but he is the current voice, we'll say. But Don at the very end of our podcast taping. He's like, hey, if you ever want to come down to Clemson, you just let me know and we'll take care of you. And I thought, all right, well, maybe, because I had thought about wanting to come down and see.
Scribbles down, yeah.
Yeah, you never know. When people say that, I think people are trying to be nice, and you don't know if they're actually meaning it, but it was very nice of him to say. So we stopped taping, and I said, Don, are you serious? Like, are you serious about if I come down there that we get a chance to hang out and all that? He's like, Jason, I said it on the air, and I meant it. If you come down, we will take care of you. I said, okay. And so about 2 weeks later, I was talking to my buddy Scott and Scott Black, and I said, Scott, I'm going to entertain an idea to you. Do you want to go to Clemson with me and spend a weekend and just watch some football, hang out, go eat at the local places, and just, you know, enjoy the vibe? He's like, I'm all in, Jason. I said, all right. So I called Don Munson, and he hooked us up, and hooked us up in the sense of being able to get us in the press box. He took us around, and we went to Clemson, and it was amazing, Eric. And the reason I bring that up is because you lived there for 4 years, and I saw the facility, and I don't know how to say this. I was blown away, and I think Don might have used the words Taj Mahal as I was walking around. Was it like that when you were there? Because I feel like in 2015 was your last year there. That was the first college football playoff that Clemson had made.
Yes.
So it wasn't like that, because you've been back since, obviously, and seen what it's turned into.
Yeah, man, it's it was nothing. It was nothing like that. And I wish you could have seen a night game. I think it was a noon kick, right?
It was a noon kick against Syracuse back in October, and it was a great game. But
yeah, still great environment, I'm sure, and great game. But night games are just so different. But yeah, to see, I mean, the facilities that those young men have, to see the all the opportunities. I mean, basically, to kind of give you a time frame here, which it happens quick. It's not like I'm some super old guy. I'm getting older by the day.
You're not even 30 yet, buddy. You're not
right. I'm not. And so we had just kind of started implementing like a nutrition coach. Like that was where we were. We just built an indoor, and that was like, wow, we are so far ahead from everybody else. And then, you know, there was just this arms race that really occurred like 2014 to 2020 that just was booming, massive. Like if you don't have this facility, if you don't have this, if you can't compete, like it's over. And you know, Clemson's certainly on the forefront of that. So the year after I leave, they get into this facility, and it's the craziest thing, or they start building it, and it's just, it's unbelievable. The resources that they have, the ability to, you know, take care of your body from a mental aspect, a physical aspect, with all the training things. And it's just, it's awesome. It's hard not to be successful at a place like Clemson. It really is.
Well, you were in the college football playoff your last year. You won it all the year after you leave. That was, you know, the Deshaun Watson to Hunter Renfro touchdown. And when you have opportunities like playing in and then winning, you know, national championships, that's when prestige and money and all these other things come in to allow you to build these facilities. And it's not a coincidence that that took place right around, like you said, 2014 in 2015. I will say, Don was showing me around, and he took me to these different areas, and I was told, as he was saying, that Dabo strategically put everything in that facility where it is for a purpose. And even like there's two bowling alleys and ping pong tables and stuff, and
basketball court,
and it was all intentionally put there to create competition, because he always wanted his guys to compete. And I'm just wondering, when you played for him, did you recognize that that's what he was implementing and putting together, that he always had a purpose for everything he was doing?
Let me just give you a little, pull back the curtain even more, my man, because when you come on your official visit, it is ritual that you have to play him in pig or horse. Like you have to compete, and he's going to beat you. I think there's only like one prospect ever that has beaten him. And so he sets the tone that if you come to Clemson, we're competing every single day and everything that we do. And of course it was just, you know, exacerbated to a whole new level when you can have a facility and all those different things where it's not just a hoop that we bought from Walmart and we put it outside on the street. I mean, it's incredible to see the detail that went into that thing. And seriously, he went through room by room, inch by inch of what everything should be. And I don't think there's a lot of coaches that would do that. They're kind of like, yeah, get this done. This is what we need. Make it happen. But his fingerprints are
everywhere,
you know, all over that program, man. And I have to also give a massive shout out, you know, to our leadership, our board of trustees at Clemson, the president and Jim Clements, and just the belief and the trust in athletics that, athletics is the front porch of the house, which the house is the university. And you get that thing looking nice and really exciting, everything else follows. I mean, the growth that Clemson has seen since the football program has been on such the rise that it has since 2015 has been tremendous. And there's a lot of academic folk out there that, they kind of put their nose up to that and say, well, we're going to worry about school. Y'all handle athletics. And man, the leadership at Clemson is just so fantastic. And that's a huge reason of why they've grown and are where they are.
I have to be honest with you. I didn't even see the rest of the campus. I saw the football facility. I went to the stadium.
Next time. I'll take you around next time.
Absolutely. But that's my point, was that it took us 3-4 hours just to get through the football facility and the stadium. So I was like, wait, there's a whole other college here? Yeah, it's over there. And I'm like, okay. So, but I will say that the people down there, and I live up in the Northeast in Connecticut, and there's a lot of nice people here too, but everybody was so unbelievably nice and cordial and just friendly. And I think we're missing that. And it was nice to kind of know that there was a place in this country, and I know there's many more, but there was a place where you could go down and eat at the local, breakfast place that we went to. I can't remember any of the names. I wish I could now. But we had breakfast. We had, I can tell you, we had a barbecue at the very popular barbecue place. But everybody was so friendly. And I don't know if you get up into the Northeast at all or outside other areas of the country, but I hope you don't take that for granted, Eric, living down there, how nice everybody is.
Yeah. Hey, we call it God's country for a reason, man. It's the landlines, they get you straight to heaven. You just got to pick it up.
Yes.
And I think that kind of goes in sports in general. I think it's just such a time where, people from all different backgrounds, whether it's race, economical, regional, just any of that, it just all disappears for football. I mean, you're wearing a Steelers jersey. All right, I'm a Steelers fan. Let's go. We can be best friends, on any given Sunday. And, just so many other examples of that, any sport. It's such a great avenue that I wish more people took advantage of. But, man, I'm so grateful for my background within that. Not only the life lessons that it all, has taught me throughout the years, but the relationships and people that I met and have met and continue meeting in the job that I do now, that without football, I mean, I'd have no opportunity to do any of that.
You're unashamed, obviously, in your faith. You're unashamed, obviously, in your love for your alma mater. But yet there's games on Saturdays. And when you're watching Clemson, is it really hard? I have to imagine it is, to watch a game and be an impartial observer on television, yet knowing that that's my school.
Right. You know, I think that it's something that it's just part of the job. It's just what I have to do. And I take a lot of pride in that. And people will inevitably, no matter what, I mean, if I'm blessed enough to do this thing for 30 years from now, people will still call me a Clemson homer. Sure. And I've been doing this.
And you're okay with that, right?
Right. I'm fine with it. And even though I've been doing this, 6-7 times longer than I was ever at Clemson.
Yeah.
But to me, it's something where I'm going to just tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what's happening. And luckily for me, that's been in favor of the Tigers a lot recently, but there's times where it's not. And, I'm able to be critical without being hurtful. And I think that's the biggest thing, especially, in the space that I'm in and in college athletics. Like at the end of the day, these are young men and women playing, in these type of games. This is not the NFL. This is not the NBA or MLS or any of these things where, you're looking at professionals. I mean, these are kids. And so at the end of the day, let's not tear people down. Let's identify, okay, what went wrong? What could they have done better? But ultimately know that these are young, men and women that are trying their all. And there's so many different situations that they're going through. But yeah, man, at the end of the day, I do try my best to be super pro for every team that I'm talking about and find, the positives of any situation that's happening.
Yeah, you're right. They are kids. I had to remind myself that when we were down there, my buddy Scott and I, as we're walking through and we're watching, even watching the game against Syracuse, and it was a close game and they were down. They actually played really bad in the first quarter to three quarters, I should say. And then they turned it around in the fourth quarter. But I'm watching it and I'm watching the fans, and we were right behind the student section in the press box. And I looked over at Scott and I go, these kids are 20 years old. And 75,000 people or whatever it is, and I get it. Like, I get the love of Clemson in the college atmosphere and in the alma mater, but you're right. Like, you got to remind yourself, these are kids. Like, my daughter's in college now. So these kids are my daughter's age, and it's just, you have to remind yourself that, like, even when it is a loss, yes, it's devastating. It stinks. Like last year, I remember Clemson won, what did they win, like 11 games, lost two, 10, I think
yeah,
it was.
10 games, yeah.
10
yep.
games, lost three, I think it was. And it was yep. like considered a bad year. And this is horrible for the Clemson program. Like these kids are, they're kids. Like,
yeah.
And it's, by the way, it was a pretty good season. It just wasn't a championship season. And you right. want to, if that's your worst season as a college football program, to win 10 games.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Winning the bowl. Yeah. You're doing fine, but it's a good reminder to just remember these are kids. They really
it,
are.
It is. It is. And you know, there's so much that goes into it. And we know I did that. I played there and I know, you know, the situations that they're faced with, the pressure that they're faced with. And again, it just goes all back to, can you be critical without, you know, just tearing people down and, you know, personally attacking them? Like, just say what happened and, you know, let's break it all down. And I think at the end of the day, the group that I work with does a great job about that. And it just makes everything work-wise for us easier with people who are aligned and very similar views.
He is Eric McLean with the ACC Network. Make sure you're checking out his coverage there and his analyst work. He does a great job. He's also the host of, or the co-host of, Gramlich and McLean and their podcast that they do. So with Kelly there doing that podcast as well, you guys do a great job with that. And just good to have you back, buddy. Let's make sure we don't wait three more years to do this again.
No question about it, man. I appreciate you. This is so much fun. And keep doing all the great work, brother.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. And many thanks to Eric McLean for being here today on Sports Spectrum. What a great guy. I just appreciate him. And, you know, when I went down to Clemson and took a trip down there, before I went down, I had went to Twitter and I said to Eric, I'm like, hey, can you retweet this to your, you know, Clemson faithful and let them know where the best places are for us to go eat and to go enjoy breakfast and to just check out during our time in Clemson? I had thousands of responses from people down in the Clemson area who were very prideful in the food places that we were to go to enjoy both dinner, lunch, breakfast, and we got to experience a taste of that, no pun intended, when we were down there. And it was wonderful to check out Clemson, and it was wonderful to have Eric McLean back here on the podcast. We got to make sure we do this maybe every year. We get Eric back on and kind of see where God is leading him. I loved how intentional he is about being a light for Christ everywhere he goes, particularly at the ACC Network each and every Saturday. And it's December. College football is here. Bowl season is upon us. And it's going to be fun to watch this play out and see who takes the national championship in about a month, I guess, who comes away as national championship winners. But it's great to have Eric here on the show, and I look forward to having him back on again sometime soon with more Dabo Swinney stories. We thank you as well for tuning in and sharing with us really here at Sports Spectrum what we're doing, and that is the best way to kind of get the word out, right? Our goal is to keep Jesus in the sports conversation, and you can help by simply sharing this podcast with someone you know or maybe on your social media feeds as well. And make sure you subscribe and follow this podcast on whatever app you're listening on so that you don't miss any episodes coming forth. More conversations like this one with Eric McLean. Make sure you subscribe and follow the Sports Spectrum podcast. And then check out our website and tune in next time right here on Sports Spectrum, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. We love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.